So if a good deed is done, but not posted on social media, did it really happen? Or if an act of generosity is not caught on camera and goes viral around the internet, was it even worth doing? As ridiculous as these questions are at face value, this is the world we're living in right now. To display our goodness to the world for others to see, that we all have this deep desire to be seen, to be known. It's an ancient problem. It's not just a social media one, but it's one that social media and our world and culture today definitely exacerbates. And there's even a term for it now, and it's called virtue signaling. And there's social media influencers and YouTubers who sometimes will even say certain things or take certain positions that they don't even believe in, but it's kind of the trending thing, so they want to hop on the bandwagon to get more viewers and to be seen and to be noticed. And let's be honest, I think we can all think back to some times in our lives where we've wrestled with a similar thing. We start doing something good, something really good, and halfway through, we kind of hope that, I hope someone sees this. Like, maybe you're out shoveling your neighbor's driveway, and you're like, oh, hopefully they'll look out their blinds and see, and I can give the little friendly neighborly wave. Or hopefully my other neighbor who has the snowblower will see that I'm doing a good deed for that neighbor, and he'll come do some good deeds. Or maybe you made a donation and then you casually bring it up in conversation. Like, yeah, I felt like it was the right thing to do to support this cause. I remember again when Facebook was kind of first starting out and I was living out west, there was a parent of one of my friends who posted on Facebook about a donation that they made. It felt so good to give this much money to this. And I remember feeling weird about it. Like, really? Like, why did you post that? And it's funny how fast a good thing can get tangled up with our need to be noticed. Because let's face it, we live in a world that runs on visibility. Being seen, being recognized, being applauded. It's baked into almost everything that we do. You help someone, so you post about it. You achieve something, you share it, you serve faithfully, and maybe you start hoping that people begin to notice. And honestly, even in ministry, it's no different. Pastors aren't immune to this. These days, some of the biggest names in the church circles have their own personal brands, like firstnamelastname.com. So kevinburney.com, follow me. Like, I don't know. There's the temptation to be seen and to be noticed in our pursuit of visibility. But when did we move from making disciples to building platforms? And if we're not careful, our pursuit of ministry, our pursuit of good, can start to look more like a pursuit of visibility. And don't get me wrong, being seen isn't a bad thing. It's actually part of being human. We're wired for connection. We long for affirmation. But here's the tension. What happens when our desire to be seen becomes the driving force behind what we do? So today we're continuing our series, Discovering the Way, exploring Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, going through chapters 5-7. And today we're looking at a passage where Jesus speaks right into this tension. So if you have your Bibles or your Bible apps, you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to be settling into verses 1-4. There's Bibles in the seats in front of you, and I will have the verses on the screen behind me as well. But it's here where Jesus challenges us to consider why we do what we do and to really examine who we're doing it for. And his invitation might surprise you because, as we're about to see, he's about to call us out of the spotlight and into hiddenness. And it's what Rich Velotis in his book, The Narrow Path, calls the hidden life. It's a call to unexpected righteousness, a righteousness that isn't flashy, it's not loud, it's not even public, but it's deeply transformational. So let's look together at Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Jesus says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Jesus begins with a strong warning. He says, be careful. And this right away should catch our attention. Like, why is Jesus telling us to pay attention, to be careful, to be cautious? Well, because even in the most spiritual settings, even when we're doing things that are good, right, and even biblical, it's entirely possible to do those things for the wrong reason. It's possible to look righteous without actually being transformed. So Jesus says, be careful not to practice your righteousness to be seen by others. And he's not saying don't ever let anyone see you do good. He's saying don't make that the point. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we've all felt the pull of this tension from time to time. We serve and we hope someone notices. We give and part of us wants recognition, or we pray and maybe we suddenly hope that someone's impressed by our words or our scripture recall. This is called performance-based righteousness, and it's exhausting. It's doing the right thing as simply a performance, the goal of being noticed, and you're always on. And the scary part is performance-based righteousness can look spiritual on the outside, but underneath it's insecure, it's hollow, and it's all about me. And I think within the church context, the biggest struggle is with those who are on the platform. And that's why we see people falling in the news and all over right now, because they've allowed the spotlight to be the driving force, and they've left their relationship with Jesus behind. Jesus says it's like building a house on sand. It might look good for a time, but it ain't gonna last. So Jesus says, if you're doing it for the applause, you'll get it, but that's all you're gonna get. You might get the admiration of people, but you're going to miss out on the deeper reward, the inner transformation of having spent time in the presence of Jesus. So how do we combat this? How do we protect ourselves against this culture of visibility? Because this is the air that we breathe. We live in a world obsessed with being seen. We could even say that we live in a world that disciples us into visibility. And if you think about that in that term, well, if we claim to be following Jesus and disciples of Jesus, then we need to take time to really question who we're being discipled by. Is it the way of Jesus, or is it the way of the world? Because here's the thing, pastor and author Tim Chaddock said it perfectly. If we live for the attention of others, we'll die by their silence. When we need the applause, when we crave the likes, when our righteousness becomes performative, we're constantly striving for more, for bigger, for better, constantly needing that affirmation, and it's exhausting. But Jesus offers another way, a better way. He invites us into hiddenness. In the next two verses, Jesus says, so when you give, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now, obviously, we don't have two different brains controlling the two different hands. So how is this possible? Well, what Jesus is doing is he's flipping the script. And he's kind of using a metaphor and he's using hyperbole to draw attention and to make a point to what's happening in front of him. And what he's saying is, you need to live in such a way that your righteousness becomes second nature. It's just part of you. Do it so naturally and so humbly that you don't even stop to congratulate yourself. So you're giving, you're serving, your righteousness, let it be so natural and so free from ego that you don't obsess over it. You just do it because that is who you are. This is the hidden life. And it's not flashy. It doesn't make the headlines. It won't be on Instagram, but it will transform you. It will deepen your character and it will make you more like Jesus. So hiddenness isn't about hiding because of shame or secrecy. It's not hiding because we're afraid, but it's about cultivating this life, this deep intimacy with God that doesn't depend on being seen or validated by others. In other words, hiddenness is not punishment, it's preparation. It's not exile, it's transformation. Some of the most important spiritual growth in your life is going to happen in hiddenness, away from the crowds, not on a stage, not in the spotlight, but in the quiet, ordinary, everyday moments where no one is watching, but God is present. And this is where he does some of the deepest work in us. Think about it this way. Most of you are probably aware of the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel worshiped God. The king didn't like him, threw him in a den full of lions to eat him. But Daniel survived. So when did Daniel learn to trust God? Well, he didn't learn in the lion's den. He learned long before that in his prayer closet. His faith wasn't built once he got into the den or in battle. His faith was built when he was on his knees. He consistently sought after the heart of God 3 times a day, day after day, month after month. So why is it that some of us are inconsistent in our relationship with God? What's the difference between us and Daniel? Well, Daniel prayed consistently, and most of us pray occasionally. Pastor Craig Rochelle says it this way: it's not what we do occasionally that makes the difference. It's what we do consistently. Are you consistently seeking God? Are you carving out time to sit with him, to enter that hidden secret place and just simply be with him? It's like the roots of a tree. We don't see them as they go deeper underground, but they determine the health and strength of everything above the surface. And let this blow your mind. Jesus, we look at all of his ministry that he did throughout the scriptures that we have. But if you think about it, Jesus spent 30 of his 33 years on earth, about 90% of his life, in relative obscurity. We don't know much about him. He spent it in hiddenness. There were no miracles, no crowds, no Instagram reels, just faithfulness, humility, and hiddenness. And then we get 3 years of ministry that forever changed the world. Because he was being prepared. He was learning how to lean into that hiddenness with the Father. You see, to value hiddenness doesn't mean that we hide from the world. You don't have to go join a convent or a monastery or remove yourself from the world around you. Rather, embracing hiddenness simply frees us from the shallow praise of the world. We're suddenly not living for people's admiration and attention. We're living in the world, but not for it. In the Gospels, Jesus is constantly swarmed by people who want to hear from him, see him, touch him, see his miracles firsthand, receive a miracle. But Jesus refused the admiration of the world and stayed focused on his mission and his relationship with the Father. In John chapter 2, it says, while Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them. People wanted to make Jesus a celebrity, but he didn't allow it. He was not wooed by the platform. Even in his resurrection, which we're celebrating in a few weeks, Jesus prized hiddenness. Think about it. After being dead for 3 days, buried in a grave, he comes back to life, he finds his friends, and he tells them to go share the good news. I love it, because if it were me, I'd probably go visit some of the soldiers that were there at the crucifixion and scare them to death. But Jesus, he shows us a different way. He shows us a better way. Our culture, social media, television, all of it creates the illusion that we can be like God, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, all-knowing, present everywhere, and all-powerful. But don't buy into the lie of the devil. Just like he told Adam and Eve at the beginning, you can be like God. Don't buy into it. God and God alone is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. But even so, his presence and activity is often away from the masses. I love this part, and I'm going to try and get the names right. But Luke chapter 3, he writes, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod Tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip Tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis and Lysanias, Tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. I just read those with confidence and you think I know what I'm saying. But I love it because Luke literally lists all the political and religious leaders at the time, those in power, and then suddenly highlights how the word of God bypassed all of them and came to John in the wilderness. I love it. God's presence is always showing up in surprising places, and it's often hidden from the most powerful, the most seen, the most visible. God's reach touches everything, but the center of it is found in the hidden places. So what happens when we live this way? What's the reward? Well, here's the promise in all this. Jesus says, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. But don't miss this. God sees you. When no one else notices your faithfulness, God does. When you choose kindness and no one applauds, God sees it. When you pray in the quiet, or when you forgive in secret, or when you give anonymously, God sees it all. He sees. And what's more is that he's not just a spectator, he's a father, a loving father, and he delights in seeing your faithfulness. And he's not keeping score, but he's shaping you and maturing you and drawing you closer to his heart. So sometimes, yes, there is blessing in this life, but more than that, the reward is intimacy with God. It's a deeper character, a stronger soul, the joy of living a life that isn't dependent on the shifting opinions of others, but rooted in the unchanging love of the Father. Your reward isn't just about a future blessing to come. It's about being blessed with an intimacy with God the Father right here and right now. It's accessible today. It's the joy of knowing that you are seen by the one who matters most. As Jesus prepared to leave his disciples and head to the cross, he shared these powerful words about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16. Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. And the Message translation puts it this way, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he won't draw attention to himself. I love how that's framed. This is one of Jesus' best lessons on the importance of hiddenness. The Holy Spirit does not push himself forward into the spotlight. He humbly points us to Jesus. And Jesus says in the next verse, verse 14, he will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. In other words, within the Trinity itself, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, there is no struggle for power or position. They're not seeking the spotlight. Rather, they're radically other-focused. The Father affirms Jesus by saying, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And then Jesus is always pointing to the Father, saying things like, "The Father is greater than all. I do only what I see my Father doing." And then, as we just saw, the Spirit is pointing to the Son. So here's the main idea. If the Spirit is secure in the love of the Trinity, in the love of God, and the Spirit lives in you, he wants you to be secure in the love of God. He wants you to know that you are loved, you are accepted, you are seen. This is the kind of faith that God blesses, the faith that is practiced in the secret place rather than performed before others. This is what righteousness looks like in his kingdom. The world's applause is temporary, but God's reward will last forever. And who you're becoming, who we're becoming right here and now, matters for eternity. So what does it look like for us? Because if we're going to order our lives around this theological truth, well, then it requires some concrete counter-instinctual practices. It's one thing to agree with the idea of hidden righteousness, but it's another to practice it in real time, especially when the world that we live in constantly invites us to be visible, productive, impressive, to build our own brand. What does this look like for us? How do we live an anti-performance life? How do we get off the treadmill of jockeying for position or visibility? Well, we have to see hiddenness as a gift, one that slows us down, anchors us in God's presence, and reorders our desires. So let me offer three ways that you can cultivate this kind of hidden life. The first is to practice secret generosity. And I'm going to say, these things seem simple to read, to hear, to say. It's a lot harder to do because, I don't know, I even just thought about some of the things I could do this week to try and live this out. And I'm like, but not tell them at all? Like, not, like, it's even hard trying to share what I'm going to do, but not want it to be performative in front of you. But practicing secret generosity is leaning into obscurity and radical generosity. And it's about not making it known, not to your friends, not on social media, maybe not even to your spouse, if perhaps your spouse is the one that you need to be more generous toward. But it's simply doing things, being generous, out of your love for God and in relationship and intimacy with him. So for example, you could buy someone lunch anonymously. You could leave a gift card in someone's mailbox. You could slip a bill into someone's Bible. But it's about doing it quietly and just simply letting God see it. Resist the urge to claim the credit. Choose to be unseen. Maybe even let someone else take the credit. That'd be the hardest thing, if you do something nice and then they're like, "Man, like, did you know what Trevor did for me this week?" And it's like, "Yeah, that Trevor, he's..." Not because it's bad to be seen, but sometimes the most transformative work happens when we're not seen. Another example is to create a secret place with God. One of the most countercultural things you can do in our noisy, fast-paced world is to simply sit in silence with God. Not to impress him, not to impress yourself, not to get something done or ask for things, but to simply be with him. So you could set aside time each day to be with him in the quiet, no distractions, no spiritual performance, just you and him, and maybe even just start with 5 minutes a day, like not an hour, not your whole lunch break, 5 minutes. You set a timer, sit quietly, breathe deeply, and say, here I am, Lord. No need to perform, just open space for God to meet you. It's a practice of being before doing. I think we often do it the other way. We do things and then we think that we've been with God. But what about taking time to just pray in silence, to journal, to read scripture slowly? These things don't make headlines, but they do form your soul. And I promise you that if you spend a week doing this, you're going to look back and think, why didn't I start doing this sooner? My week was radically different because of those 5 minutes each day. And then another way we can lean in to the hidden life is to serve where or when no one sees. And you can find a way to serve someone this week in a way that you won't get noticed, in a way that you'll... that people will never know it was you. You could clean a bathroom. Although if I did that, my wife would definitely know it was me. You can send an encouraging note with no return address. You can buy groceries for a family in need. You can drop off a gift card anonymously. Look for things that others overlook and do them with joy. Because here's the thing, when no one else sees, your Father does. And this isn't about being clever or sneaky, but it's about choosing hiddenness over recognition. This is the kind of giving that Jesus is talking about here in Matthew 6. So to actually help you with this, I went ahead and I printed on a bunch of strips different exercises that you can do this week. And what I'm going to do is, what's the best way? I'll put them in a basket and I'll actually pass it around. And I'll read one off that it's, you can pick one up. It says, pick up garbage in your neighborhood without telling anyone. I know some of you guys already do that and it's incredible. But what I hope this exercise will do, it's not about checking it off and doing things for God, but it's about helping you slow down to recognize how hard this actually is to do these things without credit, without being asked, but simply because of your love for God. So I'll pass that out soon and I'll simply say, like, you don't need to read it. Don't trade it. What did you get? What that kind of defeats the purpose. Just take it. You can read it later. Do what it says. And then the most difficult part of it all is don't tell anyone. If you're married, feel free to share with your spouse. You don't have to keep these things completely secret, but you might want to. Listen to what God's telling you. But just no hashtags, no humble brags, just obedience. Because your Father will see it and He delights in seeing your faith lived out in the hidden places. So just as I close, I'm actually going to pass this around and I'll trust you guys will get it to where it needs to go, but let me just end with this. The way of Jesus often goes against everything that the world teaches. And that's why it's the narrow path. It's not always glamorous. It's often slow, quiet, and unseen, but it is deeply, deeply good. And it leads you to meaning and purpose. It leads you to God. The narrow path of Jesus will always lead to deep transformation. And the most important spiritual work in your life won't happen on a stage or in front of a crowd. It will happen in the quiet, in the secret, in the small. And that's why I've said before that your ministry is your relationship with Jesus. Your parenting is your relationship with Jesus. Your grandparenting, your work, everything we do has to come out of our relationship with Jesus. And you may never get a round of applause for your faithfulness, but one day you will stand before the Father and He will say, well done. And that's all the reward you're ever going to need. So let's be people who live this way, people who choose hiddenness, people who choose to step off the stage and into the secret place with God. Let's be people who choose unexpected righteousness, not to be seen, but to be formed. Not for the spotlight, not for applause, but simply for Jesus, because He sees you and that is enough. So let me just end with this last question that was already up there. Where in your life have you been living to be seen by others? And let's take a moment to pray and be still before God. Heavenly Father, free us from the need to be seen. Teach us the joy of hiddenness and unexpected righteousness. Help us to live lives that honor you in the secret and hidden places. And God, help us to live this way consistently. Thank you that you see us and that you are forming us even when no one else notices. We want to walk in your way, on your path, and for your glory. So help bring to mind an area in our lives where we've been living to be seen by others. We confess this to you now, and we ask for you to help us step out of the spotlight and focus on you. If you're here today and you know that God is stirring something in your heart, maybe you've been living for applause, maybe you've been feeling the pressure to perform, or maybe you're just longing for that deep, quiet intimacy with your Father, take a moment to respond to him now. If you're saying, Jesus, I want to step off the stage and into the secret place with you, or God, I want to let go of my need to be seen and just be held by you. Or maybe even just, Lord, I've drifted, but today I want to return to that hidden place with you. Just tell him. I was going to have you raise your hands as just an act of faith, but kind of defeats everything I've been saying. Just simply let this be a moment between you and the Father who sees in secret, and he sees your heart. Father, thank you that you see us, not just the polished version that we show to others, but the real us, the anxious us, the striving us, the tired and trying to hold it all together us. And still, you love us. We confess that sometimes we've craved the spotlight more than we've craved your presence. We've traded transformation for applause. We've hustled to be noticed instead of resting in the fact that we are already known. But today, God, we choose the better way, your way. We choose the narrow path. We choose hiddenness. Would you meet us there, Lord, in the silence, in the stillness, in the secret? Shape our hearts where no one else sees, and grow us in ways that don't need to be posted or praised. Jesus, you stepped off the throne and into obscurity for us. You laid down your glory for hiddenness. And now you invite us to do the same. Not because you need us to prove anything, but because you want us to be whole. So today we surrender, we let go of the spotlight, we rest in your love, and we ask you to form us from the inside out. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.